Where should I begin?
Start talking and talk fast.
This great godly miracle of radio really gives me the opportunity to speak to you on the air.
Now, from one of those glowing lighted windows in the Chicago skyline, the place we call the Allstate Skyline Studio, it's WGN Nightside.
It gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce to you
very special guest hosts from NBC's Chicago Fire, David Eigenberg and Christian Stolte, along with WGN Radio's own Dave Plyer.
It's Friday. Let's do this.
All right, welcome to WGN Nightside, live from the Allstate Skyline Studios. 312-981-7200. You can call, you can text anytime throughout the show. How appropriate that it's Fire Prevention Week and you guys are here.
There we go. You know what you got to know about fires? You got to close your doors in your house. I saw this thing. If you don't close the doors, you will die of smoke inhalation. Close your doors when you go to bed. I close them. My wife opens them.
She does not want
the doors closed.
She does not want safety.
Are we going to play that as a coincidence that it's Fire Prevention Week? Or are you going to act like this was your master plan?
This was the master plan all the way around.
Well done.
Chicago Prevention Week, because the Chicago Fire, of course, took place here.
There you go.
This is O'Leary's
Cow. That's it.
Yeah, wouldn't it be weird if the Chicago Fire took place in Seattle?
It would be very bizarre. It would be a little bizarre.
You know, it's crazy. You don't know about, people don't know about the Iroquois Theater fire here, which was like 18-something. And like 300 people died in the Chicago Fire, which is tragic. But like 800... women and children died.
This
is not funny stuff because but it was dark and there was corruption involved and it was in Chicago and people didn't go to jail. Just like America these days, nobody goes to jail for anything.
Goes to jail.
You can investigate, you can do whatever you want, you could be on the Hill, you can look after these mutts and they don't go to jail.
You know, they say that the Marshall Fields of Macy's on State Street, the 8th floor is haunted from people because they used it as a morgue for the Iroquois Theater fire.
Oh man.
As we're getting into Halloween.
Read about that. It's tragic, heartbreaking.
It's terrible.
Oh my god,
terrible.
And I'm not being funny.
No.
All right, Plyer.
Here's what I'm concerned about. So no, you know, you were quoted as saying that you were going to kind of be you know, kind of off your rocker. You're just going to be unhinged and all that good stuff. And
well, we go. You're going to finish?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I talk faster. I'm here with Papa Stolte, and he's got the scowl already. Because everybody has that quiet, still voice inside of it. I get in touch with it. I try to meditate. I don't succeed. That tells you good things to do, bad things to do, and not things to do. But whenever I get with Chris, I really, really try, when we're working together for long hours, I try to, like, squash that voice just to, like, let him stare at me. Because I don't make sense a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And he called me an idiot the other day.
I was just going to say.
Do you remember when you called me an idiot the other day? You're an idiot!
He's got such a masochistic streak to him.
God,
no,
I love beatings.
No one enjoys being called an idiot more than him.
Yeah.
And usually I'll say it in a friendly and casual way, but I may have barked it at him.
Oh,
the
man,
other
the other day it was great. I mean, other people were like, he just screamed idiot at you. I says, but it's with love.
It is with love. It is. But Chris and I, we went through the words you can't say.
You can, man. What a list.
And you went into the kitchen and said them all about 40 times.
I did. There you go. Can I say Glockenspiel?
You could say that.
All right, good.
Yeah,
well,
okay,
you know, sometimes on our show, a scene will end and it requires a button. You can write a scene and you don't know that when you go to shoot it, it's going to have the ending will be a little empty and somebody would naturally say something here. So we find ourselves improvising the ending of scenes sometimes. Sometimes they'll use the improvisation. Sometimes they won't. But
I'm biting my lip. So bad.
Whenever David is just off script, we all just kind of stand and look and just kind of shake our heads. That's not going on TV. That will not be on TV. What else you got?
That's not going on TV.
Why I've got the Sharpie right by the dump button, ready to go.
I never made it.
Chris, you're going to get intimate with that dump button.
You talked on your Facebook page about doing this, and you said you're not going to listen to any comments about having a face for radio.
Correct.
So one of your buddies, Joe, says you have an ass for radio.
Which is true.
What does that mean exactly?
That's Joe Faust, everybody. Thanks, Joe.
That's funny. And then another friend of yours says, I'd like to request this album be played in its entirety. It's the Welsh Band's 111-track Monster album, which is the world's longest.
And it runs just over 4 hours, which is the only reason we're not doing that.
That's true.
It's an album? How big is the record player that plays that thing?
I don't know if it's about the size of the record player from the box set.
If it's multiple records.
Discs.
Then, come on.
Yeah. You know what? You know what I wrote tonight on Twitter? I wrote like, hey, so dial in to 7:20 a.m. And I realized there is a whole four generations that have no idea what dialing in means.
Right. Yeah, right.
It's lost.
That's right.
I signified at work the other day of slamming down a telephone to our young colleague Daniel.
Right.
You can say his last name. I don't know how
Kyrie,
to
say Daniel Kyrie.
Kyrie, yeah. And I signified it. He looked at me like, what? And I went, you have no idea what a slamming a phone is.
Yeah. No.
They don't know what. They can throw an iPhone or something.
But you know, you can text. You can text and slam a text to somebody.
Yes.
Yeah, but you know, there's nothing like slamming a phone down. And I won't say the things that would go with that, but bang!
Well, we keep some of the vestigial terminology.
Okay.
We still say roll down the window. No one's rolling down the window.
That's true.
They still say roll cameras. Yeah. There's nothing but digital inside
that
thing.
That's true.
There's nothing in there anymore, but just some micro, what do they call, processors.
Yeah, that's right. That's
there
right.
There we go. See, I knew that. You can't call me an idiot tonight. There's going to be coffee flying in here. I'm coming
to
over
one
the counter.
Zeros right now.
There we go.
Some guy named Chris asked if you're still driving the Harley he sold you.
I am.
Oh, look at that.
I am. It's a Fat Boy 100th Anniversary Edition 2003. Black.
Look at that.
There you go. You haven't asked for a Harley.
Classic Fat Boy Harley.
I can't stand motorcycles. Do you know I got a thing? Oh, man. They drive me nuts, man. All these guys. Everybody's like everybody's a bandit now. Everybody on the highway. If they were all criminals at some point in their life, I don't know really where to go with this, but there are not that many criminals out there.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to be a macho criminal now with the bandana.
With the bike.
Do you wear a bandana?
Not everybody rides a bike as
no,
a bandit.
No, I wear a bow tie and suspenders when I ride my bike.
There you go. There goes Pee Wee.
There you go.
Did you think bringing up motorcycles, for example, would inspire this ire in Derek?
No.
What else?
No.
What else we got? Hey, you know, you ever notice butterflies?
I hate butterflies. They're flying.
Yeah, flying a straight line. I remember that that's a classic old riddle. How can you tell when a butterfly farts? Because he flies straight for a second.
That's a really good. That's a good grandpa joke.
I like
joke.
That one. It is.
He is a grandpa.
I am a grandpa.
Are you a grandpa?
A grandpa. I should
be. You're years older than me. Are you really? Holy smokes.
I'll be 56 next week, and I have two beautiful, beautiful grandkids.
Look at you. Yeah.
Tell your wife what you can't say anymore, what I'm going to say next year.
Yeah, my wife is by now burned out on hearing me explain all of my irrational behavior with, that's life on the double nickel, baby.
Yeah, you don't get to say that anymore.
I have to retire that next week.
You have to get rid of it. Yeah, yeah. So are the grandkids actually here in Chicago?
They're in Evanston, which is 5 minutes from us.
Because David was born in Naperville, but you've been here for like 30 years.
Coming up on 30 years.
Right? Yeah. And when, like, what was your big, like, what would you consider your big first role was? Like, that to you, like, not what critics will say or whatever, like, what to you felt like, wow, this, I made it?
Ah, boy, if you ask most actors that, they will have to say there were probably 15 times I thought I made it, and I was wrong.
Mm, okay.
I remember one of the sort of breakthrough experiences for me was understudying Gary Sinise in Steppenwolf's production of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Ooh, that's cool.
I got to go on for him 9 times. I had played that role in college, and yeah, that was a big deal, but I couldn't, in theater, you can't be focused on the big deal in the moment.
Right.
I had some big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
And at a theater on a scale like Steppenwolf, you're pretty well taken care of.
Of course, I would think so. Yeah.
You step off stage to transition to the next scene and 7 people pile on you and change you out of this clothes and these clothes. You know, it's not like storefront theater, which I've logged a lot of years in as well.
I think Prison Break. I remember you doing Prison Break, Public Enemies, Boss, which is still one of my favorite shows. Yeah. I'm so bummed that never ended.
It had a real edge to it.
Heartbreaking. Yeah. You're talking about grandkids. You're talking about all this. When are we going to start talking about all the girls that we're dreaming about that we just can't do anything with anymore because we're just too old? Married too long. Yeah. We're going to talk about careers?
All the girls, basically.
Huh? I tried to trash my career so many times and succeeded. Let's talk about trashing it. Saying things that we shouldn't have said.
Don't quit now.
I told this guy that should have been like, he should have been castrated before he met me because I don't even know where to go with that anymore. Maybe I castrated him with what I said. I said to this guy one time,
"But you're a happily married
guy." I love my wife dearly, but she puts up with anything. She don't care. Women grab me, I put my hands on them. She don't care. She knows when we get home at the end of the night that I am hers.
When you're a star, they let
there
you do
go.
It.
Is that right?
I'm one of those guys quoting our president.
Yes, you are. I thought so. I thought that's what you were doing. Yeah, yeah.
Nah.
What about you? Like, what would you say? Big deal role for you?
That you feel like it was your
big deal.
I'm going to tell you, dude.
Homicide Life on the Street. I remember you doing one.
You know
of those.
That's funny because that was the first decent job I ever got, and I loved it. I realized I love television, and there was a really cool thing that happened in that. When you learn to do TV, you got to throw looks because they need cutaways and stuff. And then one of these actors, lovely actors on that show. I'm not speaking disparaging about it. I don't remember who it was, but the camera guy was like, "Could you throw me a look? Because I got to get to the building." And he was like, "I'm not throwing anything." And he looked at me, and I went, "I'll throw it for you." And I threw him the look because you turn your head and you throw it so that they swivel the camera around. And I went, "This is a community thing." And I love about my work probably more than anything, because I'm not really a good actor.
No.
Chris knows that.
Right.
And but I love the community, the people. It's the carnival. We're all a bunch of old carnies, and being with each other, laughing and carrying on.
Sure.
The work is secondary for me. I don't really, whatever show I'm on, you know. I was on Golden Girls. Chris loves talking about
that.
No.
He played Stosh on Golden Girls.
Stosh?
For 7 years.
Stosh.
Running joke because
he thinks it's Sex in the City.
I never watched
Sex in the City, whatever the F. That show was. Oh, see, I
thank you. F is fine.
We're going to get back to that in a second.
All right,
Sex in the City, which I never watched, and therefore I pretend to be only vaguely aware of what his career was.
Because burnt when the ladies go, "Oh my God, it's Steve!"
You play. You,
instead of like, "Oh, police number three on the L tracks in Night of Nightmares."
You played
Nightmares.
Stefan on Designing Women, am I correct?
Yes, I did. Let me tell you,
wait a minute, season one, here we go. Season one, I don't even know if the show had been on the air yet, but TV Guide was out doing a story on us as we were at some incident or other. And, you know, our job is mostly downtime. And we were all sitting around just getting to know each other at that point. But there was sort of a competitive clowning vibe going on. And they came over, they talked to us, they talked to David about Sex in the City. And then when the reporter went away, David, who did 7 seasons of Sex in the City, looked to all of us and asked completely earnestly, "Is it Sex and the City or Sex in the City?" Because he did not know.
Well, because it makes more sense to have sex in the city. Sex and the city? And what? And what? And what?
You're asking the wrong guy.
You're making a good point. But you really didn't know.
That show, the shoes and the clothes and all that.
But when you played Squeaky on Charlie's Angels.
Squeaky.
Cheryl Ladd.
She was my favorite.
What road is he going down right now?
Where are you going with
I'm
that?
Just drifting. Going.
He said her name and he drifted.
I bought a Cheryl Ladd album, I think, at that time. she made all of those guys.
She recorded?
She recorded. She was in this blue satin. I still remember the picture, this blue satin thing. Yeah.
David Soul from Starsky and Hutch had an album.
He did.
What was his hit song? Come on, buddy. Come on,
Don't give up on us, baby.
That's it.
Wow. Yeah. You're very good, Roger.
Thank you so much, Roger.
Thank you.
Wow, that was quick.
We got to do stuff. He's got stuff we got to get here.
No, I keep
Give me the news. Hey, so welcome back to WGN Nightside.
What
page do you want me to read?
No, we got to go. You got to wait a second. It's David Eigenberg. It's Chris Dolte.
Does that happen later?
Yes, it happens later. It's WGN Nightside.
On November 6th, you have the power to influence the course of politics by following the most comprehensive local political news online at chicagotribune.com/midterms. I blew it.
You're fine.
I blew it.
David Eigenberg, Chris Dolte, day player in studio here. That's a theme to Emergency.
Yeah, sure enough.
Which was really, I mean, how many firefighter shows have there ever really been?
Oh, precious few.
Yeah, right?
There was like
a slight resurgence now, but no. I mean, you could name literally 50 cop shows for every firefighter show you can
name. Absolutely. Yep. Did you, when you guys were, you know, growing up in the 70s, did you say, I want to be Randolph Mantooth?
Is yes. Ever? Yeah.
No.
No. Come and on. The other guy's name again?
That guy was handsome, man.
Kevin Tye.
Kevin Tye. I know that's the one I don't remember as much.
My sister used to walk her dog in Los Angeles with Randolph Mantooth.
Is that right?
And we went to the same acting school
she
about
would walk
20 years apart.
Randolph Mantooth and her dog?
And her dog, yeah.
Hey, listen, everybody. During the commercial break, we wrestled David down and made him take his meds.
They have not kicked in, man.
They have not. I kicked him, but by one, no. I should be nice and even. There we go.
Rescue Me?
Right.
Rescue, really love know. That show. I love that show.
Yeah. Third Watch. Had
Third Watch. I forgot about that
Firefly.
One. Yeah. Now there's something called Station 19, which I haven't seen.
Never heard of it.
It's bizarro. I don't get it. Yeah. I mean, okay. God bless them. I don't want to talk. They, you know, I hope they do well, but it's just a weird show.
Texts that always come in, people who always ask when I'm interviewing from someone from Chicago Fire, they just love the whole Molly's thing. Because it's so
do
Chicago.
They?
Yeah, that's
do
the
they?
Thing.
They d- Let me tell you, here's a little behind the scenes, vis-a-vis Molly's.
Yeah.
We all sort of collectively roll our eyes and shake our heads when we know it's going to be a day at Molly's. Because every scene at Molly's is actually three or four scenes crammed into one location. Which means usually if you're not in a scene, you don't have to be there. But when you're at Molly's,
you are
a background artist. You're a background artist for all the scenes that you're not
gotcha, in. Gotcha. And is that Lottie's? That's the
it
original,
used to be Lottie's.
It used to be Lottie's, right?
That used
in
to
Bucktown.
Be, yeah, and that was like the beginning of the whole transgender thing. There was a lady, Lottie's, and she had the junk upstairs and the junk downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
She had a big old Adam's apple. She was like 6'4", he said, and you could get busy any way you wanted with her or him.
Look at that.
There you go.
Chris looks very stunned by
there
this
you
conversation.
Go. That's the story down there. And there used to be coppers down in the basement and firefighters and aldermen, and they were all up to no good.
But
just like they are today. Just like they are today. But we forget about it.
What I found interesting is when I was over at CineSpace a few weeks ago, you guys have the entire Molly's like built there now.
So even
the exterior. I mean, it's amazing how it looks like just a
Chicago
bar.
Well, we don't use the exterior. I wish we did.
You don't?
But once in a while, they'll go to just...
they just shot there yesterday.
Yeah, the day before. This week, they had to do an exterior at Molly's watching Severide go into the bar. But we have also faked an entrance right around the corner from our studio as an exterior for Molly's. But once we're going to visit a place over and over and over again, it becomes more practical to build a replica of it on our stage.
It does make sense, Do you guys like being out in the street shooting, or do you guys like being inside? Like, what do you like?
If we're out on the street, we're shooting an incident most of the time, and those are the most time-consuming. As I've said, most of our time is spent waiting anyway.
Do you like inside or outside?
I'm getting to where I prefer. I'm getting to where I prefer inside.
Okay.
He is an inside guy. I love the outside. Give me the ice. Give me the slippery shoes. I'm going.
There was some incident or something that you guys were filming in WGN TV. This was years ago. The morning news.
Yep.
We reported it as a real incident that was happening.
That was a plane that landed on the street. Was it on Martin Luther King or Indiana or somewhere down there?
Yeah. That's one of the jaggy pants who was working said, "Oh, it's just when they figured out that they were wrong because they were stupid." God bless WGN, but they were stupid. And they thought it was a real. They went, "Oh, it's just some show that nobody watches." Well, guess what?
My mom
still watches.
Jeff Jaggy Pants.
Can someone call Todd and ask if Jaggy Pants is okay?
I think Jaggy Pants is fine.
I'm sure we're just fine. All right, what do we got on the show coming up? Let's tell folks who we got coming up.
Well,
Chris.
How about just a few things to get really excited about?
There we go.
We have live in studio. We have legendary Chicago artist Tony Fitzpatrick.
It's the best.
Cool. In just a moment.
I used to listen to Tony on The Loop with Wendy Snyder.
That's
who's
because
here now.
He has done it all.
I had no idea.
If somebody said to me, Tony used to be my crab fisherman, I'd say, yeah, he probably was. He probably was. He's done virtually everything.
Yeah.
He's glazed over. He's watching reruns of Emergency out there in the foyer.
He's watching Hazel.
Yeah, he's gone.
We're talking about Shirley Booth.
Huh? With Shirley Booth.
And I'll tell you, the little boy on that show's name was Bobby Buntrock.
Ooh, there you go.
In real life?
That was his real name.
Bobby Buntrock?
Buntrock. Stuck in my head.
Huh. Wow.
Look at that.
There you go.
Who else we got coming up?
Well, after Tony Fitzpatrick, we will be joined by telephone by Ike Riley of the Ike Riley Assassination, who is touring and currently in Seattle.
Amazing musician.
Fantastic musician. One of my favorite singer-songwriters, and just a hell of a rascal. He says he is going to be naked in a motel somewhere in Seattle when we talk
to him. No one will see
and
it.
I will imagine seeing him, because I'm afraid of nothing. I'm afraid of nothing.
Is he going to
FaceTime?
You
don't have to share what's in your head.
Oh, come on.
Is he going to FaceTime?
I'm going to ask him not to. Followed by legendary Chicago improv king David Pasquazi.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Very cool.
There is not a man with more talent, as far as I'm concerned, in America.
He
can do anything with his mouth.
He is a casual high wire artist.
He is.
Watch him and you watch him improvise and you're kind of in awe. If you're an improviser, it's probably something you aspire to. If you're not an improviser, it confirms, well, I could never do that.
That's right. Yeah.
And wrapping up the show tonight will be Jeff Jenkins, the co-creator, co-curator, and ringmaster of the Midnight Circus.
Very, amazing.
Very cool. I love
Chicago
that.
Park That'll District supporting. They do everything for Chicago.
And they got one show coming up left, I think.
I think they have a couple. I think they added one, and that's...
Yes, they did. We'll that's the one that's that still available. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Chris Stolte, David Eigenberg, Dave Plyer. It is 11:32, and I'm doing my show now, 2 o'clock in the morning. It is 11:32. Oh, do we have another break right now? Oh, good Lord. Here we go.
I need a break. Hey, we are back here now. And you know what happened? We came back, Dave, and Stolte is back out there. He had to go run to the loo because his bag was full. This whole bag of bones cannot hold it. He's like my four-year-old. Daddy, I have to go pee. So I'm so glad.
He's not here. He's going to be gone for a while, probably.
He sometimes hates me. He hates me.
I don't think he does. Looks like he just looks more stunned.
No,
than hate.
Well, you know, he's from St. Louis or something. He's always crabby. He's one of the crabbiest men. We went off today. I got on a boat with him today because they made me put on. I'm going to reveal the big secret. I had to wear a wig on the show. They wanted me wear.
I heard
like,
you saying something about that.
They wanted me to look 25. So instead of getting a real wig, they bought a $25 wig. And then we kept getting notes back from the studio saying, it looks terrible. I was like, it can't look any better. It's a $25 wig. That's right. So if you tune in the next couple of weeks, you'll see this bad wig in a picture of you and me. Oh, my gosh. This is amazing. This is... I know exactly what... You don't know what this is.
No,
this is...
No.
I
would assume.
This is Tony Fitzpatrick. And he is such an amazing artist. And... an amazing human being, and he has given us a little gift here.
A little something.
We're going to talk to him when we come back, are we not?
That's exactly what we're going
to
do.
I'm looking forward to
that. It is 11:36. Here are the top stories with Roger Badish.
Welcome back to WGN Nightside. I'm Chris Stolte from NBC Chicago Fire, along with pals David Eigenberg and Dave Plyer. Here on 720 WGN, you remember David Eigenberg. He played Squinchy on Petticoat Junction.
Petticoat Junction. You are smooth as silk, baby.
Joining us now,
God,
is Chicago.
Maybe I could be the new
artist.
Sam Drucker. You
know? He's on the same page as me.
I want you to wrestle me
Ladies
to the ground.
We have here in the studio Tony Fitzpatrick. You know him whether you know him or not. Tony falls in love with other places, New Orleans.
Yeah,
Paris.
There you go.
But Paris more now, though.
Paris more now.
It's the mother of New Orleans.
Yeah,
that's what I realized. I spent 5 months there, and it's like, oh, I don't want to go home.
Interesting.
You get assaulted by beauty at every turn.
Did you speak any of that language?
You know what?
What language is that, David?
Whatever they speak in Paris.
He doesn't know. He doesn't know.
It sounds good.
Right?
No, I would go...
Je ne sais pas. C'est bon, bon.
I would go, désolé, je parle un peu français. You know, which is, I'm sorry, I speak very little French. And I would say with a look of such earnestness that they...
Yeah.
Oh, what a sweet guy.
Yeah.
You know? And everybody was telling me they were haughty and snooty, and it's like...
No.
Yeah, if you're a jag bag, of course. You run into a lot of audience students.
Yeah. If you wear white sneakers, then they're like, hey, go fetch it.
Or if you have a straw hat on after Labor Day, they slap it off your head, you know?
They're big on Labor Day in Paris.
Really? Yeah. No, but I mean, I was never treated with anything but unfailing kindness.
Yeah.
And I had the best job I've ever had in my life. And I ate well and I lost 17 pounds.
There you go.
Should we get into that job right now? Because your job that
you're we're about to drop.
I am so excited about that.
Season 2 of Patriot drops November 9th.
Tony plays Jack Birdbath.
Yeah, Jack is
on Amazon's Patriot.
Jack is a disgraced former policeman, and he's got some problems. He's an alcoholic, and
that's not a problem.
Yeah. You drink, you get drunk, you fall down. What's the problem?
Exactly.
And he overhears something from a member of the intelligence community he shouldn't have, and he tries to leverage it into this insane idea.
In a very unlikely way, yes. He is a dark, dark soul.
They're also finding out he's way smarter than he looks.
Mm-hmm.
He's like an evil genius in his own slovenly, stumbling way. But, Patriot, if you've seen season one, then you're looking forward to season two.
It's one of the best new shows in the last decade.
Yeah.
It is marvelously eccentric. It is clearly from the mind of Steve Conrad.
Yeah, amen. You know, there is no other...
You've never seen anything like it.
It's, you know what? The dialogue is diabolically kind of hard to master, is like lingua franca. Because he listens to the way people actually talk, and people don't... sometimes always get from A to B comfortably. We digress, we pivot, and especially me, you know, I mean, the ADD, it's a problem, you know.
Roses are red, violets are
blue, the squirrel, you know. It's like I'm easily distracted, and a lot of the dialogue and what Steve does is idiomatic and idiosyncratic and kind of the way real people talk.
It's not easy to write.
No. I mean, you know those real
complex... It's easy to write if you're good.
Oh, yeah. You know those real complex piping terms?
Yeah.
The lead in our show, Michael Dorman, he was having a bear of a time trying to figure them all out, so we went and got like a book on piping, trying to figure out the jargon, you know, so we can make it...
The Dynamics of Flow.
Yeah, The Dynamics of Flow by Leslie Clarett. And then he realized Steve made it all up, you know. And he was talking about a tugboat thing, and I said, you know, I actually met a tugboat driver, and I was going to make a joke about the quart nozzle. And I thought to myself, what if Steve made that up? And Steve goes, yeah, I did. You would have looked like a jackass, you know. It's like, so
it doesn't matter though. It doesn't matter because it's convincing in the moment. It serves its purpose.
Oh, absolutely.
In the story.
Absolutely. And
I remember the whole tugboat chapter of the
with
show.
Kurtwood, yeah.
Which was frustrating and brilliant and
absolutely
and ridiculous.
I'm so proud of being part of that show. I mean, I'm so fortunate.
I feel like it's going to be one of those shows that a lot of people catch up to 5-10 years from now and say, did you ever see
this? I'm hoping they catch up to it way sooner than that.
I'm with you. It's like a lot of people now recognize how brilliant Arrested Development was.
Absolutely.
But at the time, they couldn't get anybody to watch it.
You know,
I don't know how you're doing.
Weirdly enough, I watched it.
So did I. Oh, yeah, that was a great show.
Because I was a Jason Bateman fan.
Yeah.
You know, and I liked Arrested Development, and I've kind of gotten used to Ozark.
I like it a lot.
Although, he's not nearly as likable in Ozark.
He's a darker side of him.
Dude,
yeah.
You know? But, I like where Ozark is set. Because can you imagine pitching that? We're going to set this in the Ozarks.
I spent a bit of time in the Ozarks as a kid growing up in Missouri. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good, cheap vacation when you're from the Midwest.
Yep. So, I mean, Amazon's really kind of killing it. Their original programming is really solid.
They decided to be in earnest, you know. They decided to become a studio. I don't know much about the Romanoffs, which is about to come out, I guess, this weekend. But man, the cast. Have you seen anything about it?
I haven't seen previews, no.
It's a very big ticket cast. It's crazy. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel's I loved Glow.
Goliath. Did you watch Goliath? Goliath? Good Lord, that's a good show.
Boy, that second season goes dark fast, doesn't it? Oh my goodness. In lieu of I haven't gone out to the movies much lately. Because television's been so good.
Yep.
Although my son called me up, he just saw A Star Is Born and says it's magnificent.
I keep hearing that.
Yep.
I keep hearing
it's
great.
I can't think of a movie that's been this much talked about that wasn't a superhero movie.
You know what? And I'm grateful for that. And I'm a kid who was kind of grew up on comic books. I liked them better as comic books.
There you go. I liked them print too. I can't take it anymore. My kids watch this stuff, and I can't take the pounding and the noise. It's an assault on your senses.
I remember we saw the Lego movie the same weekend, not together, but you took Louis and I took my kid to see it. And I know his kid's name, but I don't know my kid. I just say my kid. But I remember getting David's review of that movie when we went back to work that Monday. I was, Jesus, it's just all noise and stuff flashing in your face.
It's loud, right?
Oh, yeah. I banged my head on the seat in front of me for like 35 minutes. I was just like, oh my God, stop! Stop! It was unbelievable. I can't take it, but I can't sit. And you guys are talking about television shows. You talk about ADD. My chair in my living room faces away from the television. My kids watch it. My wife watches. I can't sit. I can't sit and watch. I wish I was watching all these shows. And I haven't seen Patriot yet, but I can't sit anymore.
Your kids' memory of their father is going to be the back of a chair.
Exactly.
No, I'm facing
my father
them.
Was very remote.
I face them. The TV's to my shoulder behind me.
So it looks...
So you annoy them while they're trying to watch
it
TV.
It looks like you're just... jealous of the attention they're giving the television.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at me instead, kids.
Yeah. No, I sit very quietly. I actually enjoy watching people watch. It's kind of, it sounds weird.
I like reading, you know. And
I remember that.
Yeah. I like to read a lot. So sometimes the television, when it's really good, when I find something I really want to watch until it's over, it interferes with... my reading, which has begun to bug me lately, so...
All right.
I think when we come back, we should get into Tony's art, which
I want to do that.
Yes.
I want to get into that art.
Beats hanging drywall, boys. I'll do anything to avoid honest work.
All right.
I do not want to push a wheelbarrow. I do not want to swing a sledgehammer. I do not want to dig.
But you are a champion of the people who do those things.
Damn, Skippy. Somebody has to.
It's WGN Nightside.
They keep me from doing it.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to WGN Nightside. I'm Dave Eigenberg along with my pal Chris Stolte. We're both on NBC Chicago Fire. Also hanging out with us is Dave Plyer here on 720 WGN and Tony Fitzpatrick.
Yes, we are.
Gentlemen.
To there Tony Fitzpatrick right now. The last two music cues coming in were...
Steve Earle.
Steve Earle. Music is Steve Earle. And maybe we can just launch right into that because I do want to talk about your art, but there's just so much to be said about it. But let's look at that. A lot of people... I guess I first became familiar with you through Dime Stories. And then I tipped to the idea that this cat is now doing the cover art, the album art, for one of my favorite recording artists, Steve Earle.
Yeah, and I've been doing them for the last, since 1994.
How many albums now?
Oh, God.
It's okay.
It's a ton.
It's okay. It's okay.
20,
it's okay.
It's a ton, depending on how many of each album you have.
I'm working on his new album cover now. He's doing a tribute record to Guy Clark.
Oh, nice.
The late, great Guy Clark.
Like the Towns Van Zandt.
Exactly.
Did,
it's kind of the companion piece to that one.
Love it.
Because those were the two guys.
His Poncho mentors. And Lefty is as good as Towns, if I may say that.
You know, I honestly think the Towns record is not only a fitting tribute, but it's also a great Steve Earle record.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, he does bring something to the songs that speaks of their shared commitment to storytelling and to looking at ourselves as body politic in the mirror and being honest about what we see.
And there's something that's inherently emblematic about a lot of your art, and that's why someone would look at that and say, I want my album cover to look like that. I want our business logo to look like that. Because there's something, a lot of your art has a border of some kind. Sometimes it's a cigar band.
Yeah.
Sometimes matchbook covers.
Sliced up matchbook covers. And, yeah.
It gives,
CTA passes and wrappers.
It gives me the feeling, and the Secret Birds in particular, I think of when I'm thinking of this, the feeling that the picture does not extend beyond the borders of the frame, that everything of importance is contained herein.
It's about a moment and making sure that that moment's conveyed as specifically as possible. And also those things that kind of make the framing device, they have a secondary history. I mean, matchbooks and wrappers and cigar bands, they were kind of the lingua franca of the middle of the last century visually. You know, when a guy owned a business and couldn't afford, you know, take ads in the newspaper, if it was a restaurant or a gin mill or something, matchbooks. It was just cheap and easy advertising. And damn near everybody smoked back then. Mm-hmm. So they'd be carrying around this thing in their pocket all the time.
Yeah, you know, when you came in tonight, I was like, what is it? Because I get moved by your artwork,
as
I do so much. But I was like, what is it that I could say about Tony? And I went, you inform the viewer that they have to feel.
Absolutely.
You sit down, you're going to sit in front of, you're going to stand in front of, you have to feel. And that's, darn it, damn it. That's a thing that's missing these days. That people don't feel they feel what's important anymore. It's just sentiment and anger and all this other crap.
Yeah, the stuff that doesn't belong. I mean, very often I'm told, well, your work is, you know, makes me nostalgic. It's like, and I'm honestly not interested at all in nostalgia. No. I'm interested in history.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody's seen my shows or read my books, they know that.
Yep. We came from someplace.
Yeah.
We're going.
This train was about...
Yes.
The hobo alphabet. It was about one of those languages of disposition and hunger that evolved out of the Civil War and in the crucible of the Civil War and then lasted until after the Great Depression. It was a way that people who had nothing... And you got to remember, Americans back then, right after the Civil War, only about a third of us were actually capable of reading and writing. You know, so this was a language for people who didn't have a written down language.
I wonder how that information was shared. How does one know as a hobo?
They made little idiomatic symbols on buildings.
Right. I'm familiar with what you're talking about. I believe that came up in an episode of Mad Men.
Came up in Mad Men, and you know, I learned all about it from Studs Terkel.
That sounds right.
Yeah, and I became really fascinated by it, and then found a copy of the hobo alphabet. There were about, you know, 38 or 39 symbols. And in Europe, they were damn near the same. They were
interesting.
Almost identical. And this was a language that people who weren't able to write each other's letters because they didn't have addresses or the ability to read or write.
Sure.
But they all understood it.
Yeah.
And when trains changed and they were able to automatically lock them about the late 40s and 50s, you began to see hobo culture kind of die out. Although now, to this day, there's a whole new generation of itinerant people who call themselves hobos, and they're still doing it. And very often, they're kind of middle-class kids who just like the romance of it. And every once in a while one of them gets chewed up under the wheels.
Yeah.
So that book was very important to me, in that it kind of dispensed with the idea that I was in any way sentimental for the past, yeah, or nostalgic. It wasn't that. It was, this is what happened. These are the things they carried. These are the relics they left behind. Things that other people throw away.
That's it.
So, yeah. I mean, I don't have an art dealer anymore. I've kind of walked away. The night my show opened, of The Secret Birds, I kind of figured, this is it. Now I'm done. I still go to my studio and I make art every day. People want one, they can find me. You know, I'm pretty easy to find.
Look him up if you're not familiar with his art.
Yeah, I mean,
look,
you know,
up Tony Fitzpatrick. You may find some.
Look
of these.
For the goof ranting on Facebook.
But also, the amazing thing about you, Tony, is that you do this amazing artwork, and also in your studio, you find young artists.
Yep.
They can come from anywhere in Chicago. They can come from an art studio. Well, they can just
got
be,
one from Moscow.
He is always you're always shepherding in some new young artist, yeah, and kind
you
of.
You know, I see an awful lot of myself in them. You know, and then over 35 years, there've been about 50 different assistants that have, you know, some of them stay for as long as 7 years, some of them stay for.
And you hear from the old ones? And,
oh, yeah, all the time. Oh, yeah.
But that's a gift.
All the time,
that's,
and I'm so proud of them.
That's a gift to the
city. They've all done really well, you
it's
know.
It's amazing to see their artwork and what they do, and you give to them. Just it's a selfless thing that you do. I'm just amazing. Really is.
I've never had an unpaid intern. You know, I've never liked that racket. I mean, art schools, you know, kind of pimp these kids out to galleries where they run and get dry cleaning and lunch and you know, sodas. I said, first of all, you're going to get yelled at here, and you're going to get paid so much an hour, and we're going to work on making art. And I don't know that I can verbally tell you. I can more easily show you.
I'm sure they all find it.
I hate that. I hate that unpaid intern thing the art school rackets have going.
Everyone's always trying to get something free from an artist.
Yeah, you know, and I'm very, very good about like charities and stuff. I'm happy to.
Sure.
If it's for, you know, breast cancer, Howard Brown Clinic, or. You know, if it's for, like, artist coalitions, it's like, get bent. Get a job, you know.
Okay, Tony, it such a pleasure to have you join us. I don't know I spelled this out for you, but coming up next we have Ike Reilly.
Ike!
Whose new album, Crooked Love, was designed by...
me. Yeah.
That's cool.
And you know what? I was happy to do it. I've been an Ike Reilly fan since Salesman and Racist.
Yes.
And, you know, never knew him until I met him through you guys.
Mm-hmm. That was premeditated on my part, that was going to be my footnote in rock and roll history, is that I was going to introduce Tony Fitzpatrick to Ike Reilly, and he is going to do an album cover for Ike. And sure enough,
you know, it was like we met, and it was like kind of like those guys hearing the dog whistles, kind of like when I met Steve Earle, you know, and and what a fine record that is. You know,
it is a future classic, isn't it?
And you know what? It really reignited Ike. I mean, he's out there playing all over the country now. And, you know, I also recognize that spirit in him, that he's done it by himself.
Yep.
You know, he was always his own man. He never took a lot of crap or la-la from record companies.
He's an ex-rugby player. I think that informs a lot.
Yeah, it takes leather balls to play rugby, man, you know? What can I tell you?
Tony Fitzpatrick starring in season 2 of Patriot.
Yeah, you know,
on Amazon.
When it drops that night, we're going to have a little thing to watch it over by my crib. So you guys please come, and
we'd love to be there.
Yeah.
And for more on Tony, tonyfitzpatrick.co, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, you know, we have posters, you know, and I'm working on a new book called The Absinthe Birds.
Oh,
which
I can't
is
wait.
About Paris.
My grandkids are captivated by your birds.
Good.
I'll hold them up, and they will just stare at the details of those birds.
And then one of these days, one of them is going to tug on your pant leg and go, "Grandpa, can you get me one of those?" I'm an evil genius, man.
Thanks,
well
Tony.
Played, brother.
Hey, appreciate thanks it. For having me,
thank
man.
You, man. Good. Thank you for coming
Hey, you
in.
Guys are naturals for the radio, man.
Oh, good.
Aren't
do,
they?
Good.
You
oh, yeah.
should do
yeah.
this more often,
oh, yeah.
right you know?
We got every Friday night.
Okay.
Smooth as silk and the mix right. master. Here we go.
Love you,
all
Tony.
Right,
love
Mr.
you,
Mr. Munch, Mr. Herman.
Hey, brother.
Good seeing you, gents.
See you
be
soon,
well.
Brother. We'll go get
be
some
well.
Pork chops.
God bless.
All right, you're listening to WGN Nightside on 720 WGN.
Hear the sounds that matter, the top five at five from the Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantes. Weekday afternoons on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say, play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news is sponsored by VictoryAutoWreckers.com. It's just after midnight. Here's the news with Roger Bettish. Do not turn your back on Friday night. Welcome back to WGN Nightside. I'm Chris Stolte from NBC Chicago Fire, as is David Eigenberg. We're here with David Plyer here on 720 WGN. Our next guest makes music that cannot be contained. Urgent, rebellious, cynical, hopeful, celebratory, and nihilistic. He's a working class poet. He's a champion of the marginalized. He makes music that explores the dark and seedy corners of society, reminiscent of the prose of Charles Bukowski, one of my favorite recording artists and a good pal. This is Ike Riley. How are you there,
hello,
buddy?
Chris. What's going on?
Well, you know, we're just sitting here in a studio overlooking the beautiful city of Chicago, and you are in a motel in Seattle. I didn't need to tell you that, did I?
I'm in Bellingham, actually. But I flew to Seattle, and, you know, that view you're talking about sounds pretty good to me.
So this is Ike Riley of the Ike Riley Assassination, his new album, the classic Crooked Love. There's not a bad track on there. It's one of my favorite albums from anybody in years. With, as we said, cover art by Tony Fitzpatrick, who says hello. He just left the studio and wanted to recommend a place called The Pink Door in Seattle. I wanted to pass that on to you. How are things going for you, buddy?
What's that?
How are things going right now? Did you not hear the restaurant recommendation?
I did. I thought it was funny. Yeah.
I guess I didn't say restaurant, so when I say The Pink Door, I don't know where your mind went, but I'll leave it alone.
I didn't know what it was, but I was going to try.
You were going to put some clothes on and leave that motel.
No, I decided to keep my clothes on.
All right, good for you, buddy. Good for all of us, really. So you're on the road right now, and there's a lot of recording artists over the years that kind of romanticize the road and what that's like. And I know you won't give us anything false. So what's it really like for you on the road? Are you by yourself or are you with the band?
Right now I'm alone, but I actually love everything about it. Even with the band, of course, is more fun.
Sure.
I'm just doing some one-offs right now, but I like when we travel by bus. I like when we travel by plane. I like all the people I meet and all the different places I see. I don't mind dirty hotels. I like nice hotels, but I don't like dirty.
So have you done a tour with the band to support the new album?
We've done one-offs with the band. I've been out on it alone. And we're going to be playing We'll probably go do an East Coast run at the end of the year, but I'm going to be playing alone a lot, and then I'm doing a bunch of dates with Johnny Hickman from Cracker. He and I have put a little show together.
Fantastic. That makes sense to me. Whenever I hear the other bands that you're associated with, it always makes a kind of sense to me. And that's formerly Camper Van Beethoven, right? Was he also part of that?
It's not formerly. They're two bands.
No, I understand. But, yeah, right. I guess I'm saying, was he not formerly with Camper Van Beethoven?
No. He was David Lowery's the singer for both bands.
Gotcha.
He and David grew up together, and they formed Cracker after Camper.
I see. So are you? Do you compose when you're on the road? You probably have plenty of time alone, right?
No, I fill it with, different strangers I can find, so I don't have time alone.
Just the company of strangers?
The pizza delivery man.
But you're going to turn all those people into a song at some point or other, right?
I'm going to suck everything I can out of it.
I remember watching a show once where you were about to play Valentine's Day in Juarez, and a gentleman was in the crowd who you dragged out, who apparently one morning on some lost weekend, the first words out of his mouth in the morning were, "Yesterday I smoked, today I don't."
Now, that's correct.
When he said that, did you tell yourself, that's a song?
No, I didn't really think about that until, he was blaming a lot of his ailments on cigarettes. I only revisited that phrase when I started to mock him in song. Then that came back. There's a few other things he said. He gave up everything for close to, 3 or 4 hours. It was unbelievable.
Hey, just so you know, I'm also here with Dave Eigenberg, who you know as Herman from Chicago Fire. Just wanted to give you a chance
to
say hello.
Hey, Ike, how are you, man?
Good. I know Dave not only from the show, but we've done some shows, Chris, over at the I.O., and I met
Yeah,
Dave.
That's
there right.
There you go.
That's right. We're going to take a break in just a second here, but I've got quite a collection of Chicago Fire people coming out to your next gig on October 20th. It's going to
be excited about that.
So am I.
We should talk about that. Did you say you're taking a break?
Oh, we're going to just go to commercial for just a moment. Yeah. Don't be nervous. It's a radio thing. It happens all the time.
When you come back, we can talk about those shows.
Let's do exactly that. All right, hold tight. We're talking to Ike Riley, and there's more with him next on 720 WGN. Thank you.
Pat Tomasulo of WGN Morning News has got his own comedy show, and Saturday nights in Chicago will never be the same. Man of the People tonight at 10 on WGN-TV.
Well, it's been so long since I've been stiff hauling bags to the penthouse with Ivana, but he don't recall all that. If I knew that, I would be haunted by his wealth, and that he'd kill all my time. I'd kill him then myself.
Hey, welcome back to WGN Nightside. I'm Dave Eigenberg, along with my pal Chris Stolte. We're both on NBC Chicago Fire. Also hanging out with us is Dave Plyer here on 720 WGN, and we are talking with Ike Riley on the phone.
We've got Ike Riley on the phone right now. That was him you heard coming back from the break there. That's one of my favorites off the new album. That is Took It Lying Down. There's a great story behind that song, and there's a great, before I forget, video. I've watched this video easily 73 times. It was directed and I assume conceived of by your nephew, was it Joe?
Joe.
It's a fantastic video. It's a fantastic song. Look it up. Ike Riley, Took It Lying Down, and just look up the video that comes up with that. You will love it. So, Ike, you've got a gig coming up October 20th you want to tell us about.
Well, we do these shows up at a studio up in Libertyville, and I've had We've been doing them for about the past 3 years, and I just think they're pretty unique. You know, it's kind of like going to a cockfight.
Yeah, I'm excited to bring some of the people who haven't seen it before, because it is a unique experience.
Yeah, it's a 100-year-old log cabin, and you got to take a shuttle bus from a tavern out to the middle of, or out into the outskirts of Libertyville to find it.
That's right, secret location.
Yeah, and then, you know, be joined by you and your crew singing, and John Langford from the Mekons will be there next week, and my full rock and roll band, the Ike Riley Assassination.
That's worth getting excited about right there, let me tell you. It's always a good crowd there, too. Your friends and followers and fans are generally good people to spend an evening with. Couple here and there get a little out of hand, but that's to be expected. Can you give us a quick... just a quick sort of recap of the circumstances that led to that song, Took It Lying Down?
Oh, for sure, yeah. I needed a new song for this record that came out, and I just started thinking about, you know, the first thing that came to my mind, and it's usually my disgust and hatred for Donald Trump. I hated him long before he became political. I was a bellman at the Park High in Chicago, and I checked him in and took him up to the penthouse, showed him the whole kit and caboodle, the whirlpool, the complimentary, but the robes, the baby Steinway piano, the view of the water tower. And I hung in there with him as long as I could, waiting for that tip.
Sure. Most people know that's what the bellman is doing when he's showing you all the amenities. He's earning it.
But I know, I was going the distance. I even got into the decor of this place. I pointed out the draperies and the baseboard. You know, I wasn't giving up till he coughed up some cash, but he never did. He stiffed me. So...
classy guy.
He sent me so.
And I'll bet you gave him what for, didn't you, Ike?
Well, I never said a word.
There you go.
And that's what the song is all about. Yeah. I love how much bravado there is in that song when it's basically, well, it's about taking it lying down.
There you go.
Nobody sings with more bravado about failure, cowardice than I do. All right.
Fantastic.
I'm a cocky coward.
So Ike's new album is Crooked Love. I strongly recommend that you check that out. I know it feels like we're just getting started here, but we're going to have to cut out and get to another buddy, Dave Pasquazi, who you also have a long history with.
Hey, who?
David Pasquazi. Don't make me say it again. Don't embarrass the man.
So happy that he has finally achieved some notoriety.
Yes, right? He is the way I met you, through him and Ron Lazzaretti. We have a web series called Graveyard, and we shamelessly stole your music for all our intro, outro music on all the little episodes.
You know, it's a total insult and slap in the face.
Yes.
And that while all you guys are on network shows, I'm staying at this Fleabag Motel. You get a little money. I mean, you
thank you. Thank you for giving us that perspective.
I mean, I'm going to look up your net worth now.
All right. Or you could just ask me. I am going to see Ike on October 20th with my fledgling band, Kid Mayhem. Ike Riley is the spiritual father of that band. And we will be forever indebted to him, and we hope to record an album at your studio, Ike. I'm going to spring that on you in more detail when I see you.
You better do it before all my stuff's out on the street.
I hear you. We're going to let you go do whatever a traveling solo musician does in a motel room just outside Seattle. And we're going to talk to Dave, and I'm going to tell him hello for you.
I wish you would. Have him text me later.
I will do that. All right, thanks, buddy, for joining us. That's Ike Riley.
Take care, pal. All right, it is 12:31, and here are the top stories with Roger Bannon.
Welcome back to WGN Nightside. I'm Chris Stolte from NBC Chicago Fire. I'm here with my pal David Eigenberg and my pal Dave Plyer. Here on 720 WGN, our next guest, this man's face is on the hypothetical Mount Rushmore of improv. He and his partner, TJ Jagodowski, set a standard for improv comedy that few could possibly live up to. Easily one of the funniest, smartest, most quick-witted and nimble-minded people I know. This is my good buddy, David Pasquazi. How are you, pal?
I'm very well, thank you. Is this Mr. Christian Stolte?
It is indeed, and I'm here with David Eigenberg and Dave Plyer.
Hello, Mr. Pasquazi. How are
Eigenberg.
You? Yes, sir.
Hello, Mr. Eigenberg, it's so nice. I could not pass up an opportunity to not be in the same room with you.
Thank you so much. It means a lot to me.
Mm-hmm. You all know Dave from Veep. Veep, he plays Julia Louis-Dreyfus's ex-husband, and he's currently starring in Lodge 49 on AMC. I'm right about that, aren't I?
On AMC. Yeah, you're right about that. Sounds like an avid watcher.
And you are, well, I don't know what I watch things on. I'm on some platform or other watching things. Let me, and you may know him, if you're in Italy, you may just know him because you sold some grapes or a fish to him recently. He's there right now.
I'm making great fish and grapes fish.
Where exactly are you right now, man?
I'm in Rome.
Well, I was going to start a phrase that I didn't know how to finish. And are you there on business? Is it a sales conference?
No, I want to know the phrase.
When in Rome, and then I think it's followed by dot, dot, dot. I don't know what happens after that.
Anything, well, right. And in fact, when you're in Rome, anything you do, you're already here.
You're already here.
Yeah, right. You're already here. So whatever you do, you do. I'm having a hard time finding a nice cup of coffee, though, I'll tell you.
I'm sorry.
But maybe you have some tips.
No, I don't. I've never been, so I'm of no help to you whatsoever there. So are you filming yet another Angels and Demons, what is that, Celestine Prophecy, Ron Howard movie? What was that called? The
Angels and Demons.
Yes, indeed.
The Dan Brown books, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you've done, you've done at least two prominent films there, right? The Woody Allen one, which is called what?
To Rome with Love.
And they think you're an Italian actor, don't they?
Some of them do, some of them do.
And whose fault is that, would you say? You walk around speaking Italian, looking Italian?
Yeah, and I mislead. That's part of my thing. I mislead at the drop of a hat.
We just...
That's one of my great joys. That and misleading people and hating things. Those are my two real joys.
That's how you get good at it. You've put in your 10,000 hours of hating things. And now you can do it with a laser-like precision. We just got off the phone with Ike Reilly.
On groups of people. Sorry, go ahead.
We just got off the phone with Ike Reilly, who sends his love.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
Yeah. That we had to speak with him. He was in a really bright and chipper mood, as you can imagine. And he's at a hotel outside of Seattle right now. And he is fully dressed.
In Seattle.
When in Seattle, you know the rest. So what are we looking for? Lodge 49 got a second season. Am I right about that?
It did. We just found out last week that was good news for us. I hope the people that like it think it's good news as well. And the people who don't like it, they don't concern me that much.
They're not a part of this conversation.
Yeah, right.
And how's the cast?
It's really fun. Everybody walks around going, really, the whole time we're all looking around like, this is weird, right? Like, there's no Jagoff. Can you say Jagoff?
Yeah, you can say Jaggy Pants.
Yeah, right. Everybody's looking around and like, oh, I guess it's me, right? There's got to be one. There's got
to
be one.
That is the rule. There has to be one. I'm sitting here with ours.
Jaggy Pants is probably fine.
All right, Jaggy Pants.
Also, I woke up really early today and just chanted to myself, don't swear, for about 30 minutes.
We were concerned about David doing
that.
Yeah.
We were worried about the other David on that one.
No, we had a session outside in the waiting room.
we had to have a session.
Yeah, it's a full-on.
It's in the seven.
Just detritus from the mouth falling, landing on laps, wet, slathering, slop.
It was a Tourette's moment, for sure, yeah.
Pesquazi, I miss you. I miss you.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm good, man. People out there probably don't know. Like, improv is a weird thing that you do. I don't know how you describe improv. You're just living life on stage and making stuff up. And then there was a time when we were all doing a thing together, and you said, just come on out here. We were making up stuff, and you said, and I was like, I can't. And you said, well, what could possibly go wrong? And you just didn't understand that so much goes wrong in my life.
No, he will never understand.
I would be dragging the dead body of my soulless, talent-free existence out there, and will die.
Doesn't talent-free sound better than talentless?
Yeah.
Talent-free is like you slyly avoided having talent.
Yeah, exactly. There's an upside to it.
A liberation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
I am free of you.
Unshackled by talent.
Yeah. It's a nice thing, but you don't know anything about that. And you just, like, you breathe things and they come to life.
Yeah. Never seen him nervous. Never seen him.
Who actually spins plates.
Wow.
That's true.
That's a whole other story.
I've seen you spin plates.
There you go.
Yeah, literally spinning plates.
I've revived the art of spinning plates.
For a few minutes you did. I don't know.
I did.
You need to get some momentum going.
It was missed by no one.
How do you think that would go over in Italy? You think they could use a guy like that?
They wouldn't view it as bringing anything back. They're still real strong. They've been strong.
Oh, it's never went away.
Forget it. I can't compete with those Italians.
Too much competition over there. Now. You know they're better at it than you.
Forget it.
What I just really enjoyed was you two mumbling into the microphone.
It's been 2 hours of that, buddy. Chicago's eating it up.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they got a really strong. Oh yeah, there's no way I could compete.
So when you coming home?
How you guys doing?
We're all right, man. We're about a quarter of the way through the season 7 of Chicago Fire. We were both in full complaint
season
mode.
7.
Yeah, who would have guessed?
Yeah.
Season 7. They still have you on.
Yeah.
Me, not so much.
They have not caught wise to us.
Do you pretend to be other people when you're there all day?
We don't. I think the line is so blurred now between character and actor. We call each other by whichever name pops into our heads first. And
how can they bear being around your actual selves?
Again, we don't know which is which anymore.
Oh, wow.
I'm getting to know Radio David now.
Yeah, I've been coming. I got to do something different. Yeah. I like this. I like the sound of my voice.
Fantastic.
I like to hear it. I don't really hear it like this.
I gotta tell you.
And now I'm like,
I was listening,
to me,
to you guys, and I think, boy, that's a little too sexy for me,
right? What's going on with you right now? Are you all alone too?
Yeah.
All these lonely men. You know, you're old, man. I mean, you're older than me, and you're alone in a hotel. And
we don't know that
I'm
he's alone.
Yeah, he is. He could say
it's 7 in the morning where he is.
Huh?
That your nighttime.
You don't even know that I'm in a hotel.
What do you got like Liza Minnelli's dog with you or something?
Why would it be that?
I don't know. Cuz Zsa Gabor is dead.
And that was the only alternative?
That was it. One or the other. The little white Maltese.
I'm just saying your sexy smoky nighttime voice is not going to work at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Pesquazi, who do you got with you right now?
Oh,
it's actually my wife.
Oh,
Joan. give our love to Joan Marie,
that's
please.
That's nice. It is. I can't say anything now. I can't be a wise.
No, person. Right. Suddenly,
a wise
he's
behind. I can't say anything.
He's restrained.
You have a really nice wife.
Changed, didn't I?
Yeah. Sorry.
You changed that.
That's all right.
You took the fun out of it.
Listen, a lot of people are calling in right now asking when there's going to be another season of Graveyard. Do you have anything to tell them?
Oh, first of all, I'd like to thank them for their patience. Don't you hate it when people say thank you for your patience instead of sorry?
Yeah, right. Because I haven't really demonstrated patience. You don't know that I've been patient. I've endured it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, I've sat here completely impatiently, in fact, and I'm about ready to launch. So you're thanking me for something that doesn't exist, you idiot. Now I have another to hate you for.
Yeah.
Next season of Graveyard will be out right around the same time the sophomore Kid Mayhem album will be out.
Oh, crap. Album. All right. That's a long wait. That's a long wait for some loyal fans. All right, Daddy-O, you got anything else you need to lay upon us from across the ocean?
Yes. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, November 8th through 10th, I'm opening up for Emo.
For Emo Phillips, everybody.
You yeah, are cool.
At Zanies, yeah.
At Zanies, yeah. We were just talking to...
how about that? That was like a real plug.
Yeah, it was genuine. That was that's how the big kids do it. I'm going to come see you at one of those. Is that the Old Town Zanies?
Yeah.
So Old Town Zanies on Thursday and Friday, and then Rosemont Zanies on Saturday.
I'll make it to at least one of those, and you get to walk to work on a couple of those nights.
I sure do.
Good for you. All right, I'm going to come see you and Emo Phillips at Zanies. Give me those dates again.
November 8, 9, and 10.
All right, we will be there. All right, love you, buddy. Great talking to you.
You too. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Dave. Bye, David.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. It's Chris Dolte. It's David Eigenberg. And from NBC Chicago Fire, I'm Dave Plyer. And there's more of WGN Nightside next on 720 WGN.
So many songs about rainbows and what's on the other side.
Rainbows. And welcome back. Oh, hang on. I got to get my teeth in here. Hang on. Here we go. WGN Nightside. I'm Dave Eigenberg along with my pal Chris Stolte. We're both on NBC Chicago Fire. And also we're hanging out with Dave Plyer. Dave, we've been yapping our heads off, but we're here on 720 WGN. A couple of yappy head.
It's your show tonight. Fire. I'm just hanging out.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
all right, I'm done doing
Plyer.
That.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, listen, our next guest is the co-creator, co-curator, and ringmaster of the Midnight Circus, a confetti cannon of joy that explodes onto the city every late summer via the Chicago Parks District. This is our friend Jeff Jenkins. How are you, brother?
Good evening, my friends.
Hey, Jeff! Hey!
Hey, Vin, how are you, sir?
I'm good, brother. How are you? I want you to know that, you know, people out there, and you also, Jeff, I don't know if you heard this intro coming in, but Chris is sitting here with a little Bible in his hand, and he's pretending that he's making all this stuff up about people.
How would you say that I'm pretending that?
Because the way you say it, and the way you look out into the
horizon. Oh, because I try not to sound like I'm reading?
Yeah, you sound, yeah, exactly. But yeah. You're not making up any of this. You sat at home and you made
You're really
you
making me
stuff.
Feel ashamed
you
for doing my job.
He did his homework.
I'm flying with no net. I got nothing written in front of me. I can't read or write.
Let's get him a net, can we?
But Jeff, hey, let's talk to you, buddy.
Hey, Jeff, how would you describe the Midnight Circus to someone who hasn't seen it?
Oh, man, I'll tell you. Well, I mean, you said it, a confetti cannon of joy. I mean, that is an outstanding quote. I mean, that is spot on. But it's an intimate theatrical circus. It takes place in a beautiful, one-of-a-kind little big top. Right in the heart of Chicago parks all across our beautiful city.
And how long ago did that relationship start between the circus and the parks?
We launched it a dozen years ago at our local park, Wells Park. It was really just one weekend of shows, and the goal was to bring our neighborhood together, create a sense of community, and raise some funds to rebuild the playground there at Wells Park.
And that worked out well enough that you've been doing it for a dozen years now.
It, you know, it was so wildly successful and that now we travel all across Chicago, from Roseland and Inglewood on the south side out west to Garfield Park. Tonight we were up in Oriole Park. We always finish up in Wells Park. We pay to 20,000 Chicagoans a year, and we've raised over $1 million for the parks we play.
How about that? And you're at Oriole Park all weekend, is that correct?
We are, yeah. We had one show tonight, two tomorrow, two on Sunday.
Yeah, we're coming to see you on Sunday. I've been coming to see the Midnight Circus for over 10 years now. It may be way more than 10 years, but one of my favorite mm-hmm. things to do is to bring someone there who's never seen it before, because I think they have sort of a scaled down expectation of what they're going to see, and I know from having seen it so many times that every single time I will see something I have never seen before. You guys are yes. infinitely inventive within that smallish space you perform in.
Yeah, we're very lucky in that we've created a very unique a program that we attract really world-class artists. Many of them we grew up over the years, and when they're not with us, they are performing with really the premier circus and physical theaters and all across Europe and the States. And so when you come into this intimate little tent in a neighborhood park in Chicago and you're thinking, well, this will be a quaint little endeavor.
Yes.
And then your jaw hits the floor.
Yeah.
No question
yeah.
about it.
You inevitably blow them away.
Well, we try.
And how many people do you have now? How many in this incarnation of the show? How many performers are there?
I lose count, but I think we're right around 20 performers.
It's an impressive array of talent.
Yeah.
I can't think of his last name, but the gentleman, young fella named Book, is he with you currently?
Book Kennison is with us, yeah.
Fantastic.
Juggler. Yeah,
he did a deal with a tennis racket that I don't think I will ever forget.
yeah, it's something. That is great.
And I think what I heard is that your son Max will not be in the show this weekend, is that correct?
He's not in this week. He was in last weekend. He's out this weekend, then he comes back next weekend.
Tell everybody why he has to come and go like that.
Well, Max is certainly far more talented than his dad. and he plays Will Robinson on Netflix Lost in Space.
Absolutely.
So he's filming season. A funny thing, I got to say, I am so humbled and thrilled to be on the show tonight with the trifecta of powerhouse Chicagoans. And
yeah, how about it, right?
I met Tony Fitzpatrick at Fitzgerald when Ike Riley, who I'm a huge fan of, as is my son Max, Ike had lost his voice, and so he put the word out for
local I remember
Chicagoans.
That.
And my son reached out to Ike because they know each other, Max being all of 13 years, 12 at the time, and he sat in with Ike and did Born on Fire,
yes.
Tony was there and was really blown away because, as I said, Max is far more talented than me.
He's been on Chicago Fire. In fact, he ended up with our dog.
Yeah.
Let me real quick go
Jeff,
ahead.
Jeff, Max is on the line, actually. He wanted to say hello. Max,
oh,
you on there, buddy?
Yeah, hello.
Hey.
Hey, Max.
Hey, Dad, how are you?
Hey, Max. Good to hear your voice, my friend. Past your bedtime.
I just wanted to say my dad's also running for alderman
yes.
of the 47th Ward.
Oh, look at that.
There we go. I was going to get to that, but this is a far better way.
He's too humble to toot his own horn.
Good thinking, Max.
That he's a really good guy, and he's always put his community first and his family first. And I want to say thanks, Dad, for being the best dad in the world.
There you go, Max.
How cool is that?
Man.
That's what you get when you give your kid an eccentric and magical and memorable childhood like he has done for Max. That's the kind of praise you get as a parent. Fantastic.
You,
I was going to bring up your run for alderman, but I think it's far better that your son introduced this.
Agreed.
How sweet of him to call in. And so Jeff, you're not quite my age, but I think you hit the big 5-0 this year, yes?
I did, yep. 5-0.
What made you want to jump into Chicago politics, for crying out loud?
Well, I've always been politically engaged, politically active, and Midnight Circus in and of itself was created, obviously to entertain people, but, really first and foremost to bring communities together and improve the lives of Chicagoans all across our city. 6 years on my local school council, a huge public school advocate, founding board member of Raise Your Hand Action. This is not outside my wheelhouse.
Right.
And using my skill set to navigate the city and make a real difference in everyday folks' lives.
Hell of a guy. I completely believe in you. I completely believe in Jeff Jenkins. He absolutely has my vote. Jeff and his wife Julie, his kids Max and Sam, and the Midnight Circus. It is something worth watching. Jeff running for alderman in the 47th, is that correct?
47th Ward, yes, my friend.
He deserves your vote. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us, buddy.
Oh, thank you guys for having me.
We'll see you Sunday.
I'm a huge fan of the work you do.
Thanks, brother.
MidnightCircus.net is where people go for tickets and more information, right?
Yes, indeed. Be well, you guys.
All right, thank you, sir.
Be well, Jeff.
Good night, David.
All right.
Good night, brother.
Bye-bye. All right, so okay, there we go. All right, so what do you think so far? I mean, you guys have had a good time, I would assume, tonight.
Yeah, it's pretty energizing.
Right?
Yeah.
Even though it's late night, you guys work today and everything, you get this rush.
No, I'm ready to go.
We were
listen.
We were volcanic. I'm telling you, we were volcanic today. Yeah. Over a photograph that had to be taken
over a
for
wig.
The show.
Over a wig they put me in.
Right, but and the rig was in service of the photograph that was, yeah. we can't get into it right now.
And the shorts, and I couldn't find my underwear.
This was a great way to end a day that was full of turmoil and lost underwear.
Oh, my God.
He threw his wig out of the van and into a puddle because he thought that would be
so
the way
I threw
to end
that
this.
Pissed off. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
And we have a new hair guy, and he was apoplectic. He did not know what to do or what.
Sorry, new hair guy.
So
sorry,
was this a publicity shot for this episode with the wig and everything? Or
no,
what
not
this?
Even publicity.
This is
it plays in the scene. It's supposed to be him and me sometime in the 90s when we were on the runner-up Chicago Fire Department.
So this is a flashback.
Yeah. It's just a photograph from the 90s of a basketball team that these two old, slow white guys were apparently a part of.
You would have thought we were like making a swimming show with Ethel Merman or something. The production was insane. It wouldn't stop. We threatened to Uber out of the location.
We'd like to schedule a return visit just to go over the game footage of today.
Love to have you guys back. I mean, this was a blast. You guys had a great time.
Us.
And really, I mean, just turned over the ship to you guys. You guys did a great job.
You know, if they ever decide to give up their day job.
Roger.
Where's that other voice coming from?
Roger.
Look at the screen.
Oh, my God, he's in the ceiling tile. that freaks me out.
That's creepy, Roger.
I know.
Roger.
How'd you get up there, for God's sake?
Uh-huh. Well, they put me in the little square, kind of like, you know, it was the old game
Paul
show.
Lind?
Yeah,
Lind?
I'm Paul Lind. I'm the center square.
That's awesome. What do you guys got coming up besides Chicago Fire?
Charlie Weaver to block.
Okay.
We don't have anything else coming up. We have only this. Me and my band, Miranda Ray Mayo and Jesse Spencer, Kid Mayhem, are going to open for Ike on October 20th, and we're very excited about that. What else do we have coming up?
And where's that going to be again?
That's in Libertyville at a secret location. It's barely worth promoting because I think it's a very limited space thing, and I'm pretty sure it's sold out.
Okay.
So the only thing I got going, I'll be taking my daughter to Walsh Park and watching her drive her Barbie car around the park, giving free rides to other kids.
Nice.
And complaining about it.
Are tickets still available for that?
No, you know what? It's first come, first serve. You come down. If you got a 2-year-old that's not belligerent, you can put her in the car with my daughter. If that kid is out of line, my kid will whack your kid, and I won't care. Please come down and visit us anytime. Man, oh, man. Let's go to 4. Let's see 4 o'clock
in. We can do 4. Why not? Right. We can do 4. All right, hold on. We'll be right back.
Can you guys...
This week, we talk to all-time great crew chief Jeff Hollywood Hammond as we break down NASCAR at Talladega and preview our road trip remote to China. Lights in Milwaukee.
Dane Neal is on the road this afternoon at 2, right after Wildcats football on 720 WGN.
All right. So, Christian Stolte, David Eigenberg from NBC Chicago Fire. What a great show. I mean, you guys, what a fun time.
That was a ton of fun.
Thank you for having us. And I got to tell you one thing. I'm just sitting here looking at, there's like a black plexiglass piece in front of me here. Mm-hmm. And I've realized now that it's just.
Did you break it?
If I look at myself and I would make a bad drunk at this point in my life. I just got, yeah. I got the whole kind of baggy, pie-eyed look.
Yeah,
going.
That window closed.
It closed and I realized it here and now. And you share. That you gave that to me, David.
That's true.
Flyer, and I thank you. I'm not going to go home and drink in front of my wife or my children.
I forgot to tell you this, by the way. We are on WGNRadio.com, so people are watching this show live.
They were.
There's cameras in the studio.
Oh my God!
No, that's not a thing you forget to tell people.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, by the way, I'm a creepy voyeur.
Exactly.
Well, legally, he only had to do it before the show ended. So
that's right.
There it is.
Legally, there was a legal catch.
But thank you for wearing. wearing pants. That would be the best part of
only
the whole
here.
Thing. All right.
Thank you so much,
David
Eigenberg,
Christian Stolte. Thanks, guys, for
hanging out
tonight.
Absolutely. Great night.
All right. Matt Bubala is coming up next. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN radio on TuneIn. Curtis, get on the line. Tell me whose news is sponsored by? Sprinkler Fitters Local 281. It is 102. Here are the top stories. Roger, I'll see you tomorrow.
You got it, buddy. Thank you very much.
Right,
good night.
Ooh.
Good night.